ain't got no time to waste. Let's go. You are now listening to Jason Anderson, and you are in the zone.
You're in the zone with Jason Anderson on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Just how tough is it to win on the road in the NBA?
Always, you know, when team is playing in front of their crowds, it's they're fighting, they're never giving up. Same as us when we're playing home. So, you know, you need to have extra effort so you can. Look at them, they're kissing. Look at them. They're enjoying life.
You're in the zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I'm at a Thursday edition of the Zone right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Josh Briscoe and Beards heading up until 2 o'clock. The next 4 hours, we've got you a lot of football to get into and talk about today. We'll hear from the Chiefs coming up later on in the 11 o'clock hour. Matt Verderam will be our guest at 11 o'clock from Fansided.
Oh, KC Sports Network, we're covering the Senior Bowl. Well, we're in Vegas. Sorry, we've got a real day job. We can't come on your show for 15 minutes.
That's a really good Kent impression.
You sound so much like Kent.
That's what I imagine if Kent, Matt, and Craig all said the same thing in unison. In stereo,
that's what it would kind of even out to sort of a droopy dog kind of voice.
He'll be our guest. Matt Verderam will talk with him coming up at 11 o'clock. Sports or Leisure today. We'll see how much time we have for Sports or Leisure because the press conferences, we do know there will be a number of people at the podium today. Coordinators, Dave Tobe, Steve Spagnuolo, Eric Bieniemy, Patrick Mahomes today again, and TBD. We'll find out who is going to talk with Patrick Mahomes and the coordinators today. So another packed day of press conferences. I wonder if people will ask about his ankle. Hey, Patrick, how did your ankle respond after yesterday? Mm-hmm. Is it good? You feel good today? Feel good, look good, play good?
Grown any new ligaments? Lost any ligaments?
Do you need my ligaments?
Can I give you my ligaments?
They are healthy. They are not elastic. You will probably re-injure them pretty quickly, but you can have them to start the game at least. So we'll hear from Patrick Mahomes, the coordinators, and we'll see who else. Sports or Leisure coming up later on in the show. Let's start here. Falls down a well, eyes go crossed, gets kicked by a mule, they go uncrossed. I don't know. I put the format together at 9:30, and it is already dated. The format I put together at 9:30, I update the line when I put that together. So the line on Monday was Chiefs minus 1.5. Tuesday, they were plus 2. Sunday was minus 1.5. Then Monday, plus 2. Tuesday, plus 2.5. Yesterday morning, they were plus 1.5. This morning at 9:30, 38 minutes ago, when I put this together, they were plus 1. The Chiefs right now are minus 1. They are 1-point favorites. In the last 38 minutes, that line has moved 2 points. Riddle me this, Batman. Falls down a well, eyes go cross, gets kicked by a mule, they go uncross. I don't know. What has happened in the last 40 minutes? Did a whale come in? Not a well, a whale come in and just place a bleep ton of money on the Chiefs and go, you know what? You guys are overreacting to this Patrick Mahomes ankle injury, and you're also overreacting to the way the offensive line played against the Bills, missing a couple of interior defensive linemen in the snow, and no Von Miller. I'm here to correct this with all of this money I'm going to place. It doesn't move 2 points just like by one person. This is at DraftKings, by the way. So maybe people can still find the Chiefs favorite somewhere. I'm mad at myself that yesterday when they were plus 125 just to win, I'm mad that I didn't just place like $20 on them. Because when are you going to get the Chiefs at home plus 125?
In the playoffs, no less?
Now they're minus 110.
good news here is I think it's like Midwestern weather. If you don't like it, wait half an hour and check again.
Nope, now they're minus 115.
Let's just see. Maybe Patrick Mahomes will trip and fall trying to get up to the podium today, and then the line will, it'll be Bengals minus six by 4:45 this afternoon.
They were a 1-point favorite, and the Bengals, obviously a 1-point dog when I looked at this right before the show, and they were both minus 110. Essentially, it's just a pick 'em. The line now is minus 115. So,
in a week of nobody believes in us, what we've actually established is that nobody believes in anything. There's nothing to believe in.
If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
You'll bet on anything.
Texas, I don't know, man. I put a whole $2 on it. My bad.
Oh, I could have moved it. Let's coordinate that next time.
Thanks a lot. Why didn't you tell me? I would have placed a little cheese on it. And this morning I was like, you know what? Should I just go ahead and do it? Put the $20 on the Chiefs plus 105 money line. Should I just go ahead and do it? Should I do it? Should I just do it? I don't know.
I'm no like expert on the inner machinations of how the sports books all do it and how much action it takes to move points and anything like that. But one thing that would make at least a little bit of sense to me on just like a pop psychology level is this feels like a game. First of all, a game we're all watching, we're all paying attention to, but it feels like a game where people think they might have like an extra feeling or a little edge, or they go, oh, you know, well, actually, I listened to Mahomes' press conference. He sounded good. He sounded ready. I think he's going to be okay. Or you go, oh, these books opened it at, what, minus three for the Chiefs? I watched Mahomes on that ankle. There's no way. The books are getting this wrong. When usually they've got it pretty much exactly right. They're going to split the difference. They're going to make their money. And we're all going to feel like we maybe had some inside track. But in this case, just seems like a game you could talk yourself into having the extra little bit of information.
913-912-4810, Texas. Josh, I will meet you at Buffalo Wild Wings and fight you if you mention Mahomes tripping again.
Because I will fight you.
I am at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Buffalo Wild Wings. My God, yes. Okay. Man. Yeah. Have some pride in yourself.
This is for the 0-16 parade idea?
That's exactly
is that right?
Right? Oh, so great.
A great moment in sports talk radio history.
If you're one of them guys that's planning to have a parade, you stay away from me, my show, and my family, because I will fight you.
Is there a pill bottle somewhere in there? Like, is there a rattling noise in there somewhere? It's been a minute since I've heard that beautiful audio. Thank you, Texter.
Yes. All right, 913-912-4810. So there you go. Chiefs are now the 1-point favorite, so now the Bengals can play the disrespect card that nobody believes in them. And the Chiefs, now, what do? Now that they're the favorites, do they just lay down? There's no extra motivation,
right? That's
right,
yeah. The bulletin board, they had to take everything off.
Does it change back to Arrowhead now?
Burrowhead is still trending in Kansas City.
I saw that. I refuse to click on it.
With your Twitter luck, anytime you don't click on a trending topic, it's probably for the best.
Why does it bother me? Can we dime store psychologist this? Can I lay on the couch and ask?
Yeah, sure. Let's do that.
Because I know that there's the part of like, who cares? You know, who cares? Shouldn't bother you.
Let's explore that, Jason.
But it really does.
How does it make you feel?
It annoys the bleep out of me.
Hmm.
Like I.
What if I called it Herbert Head? How would that make you feel? Or if it was Allen Head,
wouldn't bother me.
Those don't bother you.
No, because the Chiefs have already beat them, so you can't do that. It's scoreboard. It's go away.
What if I called it Bengal Head?
No, still it. All right. There's a lot of reasons why I want them to win.
Uh-huh,
obviously.
Uh huh.
But this is one of them because, good God, what are you talking about?
We've narrowed it down some. You're getting your feelings out. It's never bad to get your feelings out in a healthy atmosphere like this. So it really feels like it is specifically connected to Joe Burrow. Did you find yourself in Bengals Bills? Did you find yourself rooting for Buffalo in that game?
Yes, because I thought it was a better matchup for the Chiefs.
Okay, interesting.
Because I haven't felt like Buffalo was good in like a month and a half. And I talked about that going into the final part of the season and even going into that game that I'd rather play, like, it doesn't matter where they play, Atlanta, Arrowhead, whatever. The good part is if you play the Bengals, you get it at Arrowhead. Play the Bills, you got to go to Atlanta. But I liked the matchup better against the Bills because I just didn't really believe in them here late in the season, even though beginning of the season I picked the Bills to win the Super Bowl.
What if I called it Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta?
Hmm. What's the name of the Bengals stadium? Is it Paul Brown?
Paycor?
Paycor?
Is it Paycor now? What if I called it PacCor Stadium? How does that make you feel? Okay.
I like that.
A breakthrough.
But they haven't won there.
So. No, well,
not
that's...
Not since 2018 when they wiped the floor, but there was no Burrow there.
It would help
the
if the Bengals were...
Sad Fans on Reddit was that game.
That's right!
The what was it?
The Birth of Sad Fans.
Was the Bengals
was
Sunday
that,
night? Was that Thursday night
Bengals,
or Sunday night?
It was a Sunday night game.
It was the Sunday night game that got flexed.
I knew it was a night game because I was in Destin watching it with my brother-in-law, who's a Bengals fan, and... They weren't really watching it because the Bengals sucked at the time. So why would you pay attention to football when they sucked?
It'd be easier for it to be PacCor Stadium if the Bengals are ever good enough to host the AFC Championship game there.
That's a good point. Texas, does it annoy you calling it Vegas, calling Vegas Arrowhead West? No, because that's real. I mean, it's just
I mean, that's been an established fact.
It doesn't bother me for some reason. I don't know why. Not really sure.
The reason that I really like the Bengals embracing Burrowhead is because it is as good of a needling as I can remember for a fan base. Because
I feel it.
I know. Me
I
too. Because Arrowhead is so ingrained in everything Kansas City. The Bengals have been that needle in your side, a thorn in your side these last couple of years. It's a good piece of trash talk.
Tech says if the same thing was happening against the Patriots, would it be Foxborough? Burrow, not
wow.
Burrow.
Wow, that they're gonna take that. That's
so
gonna happen,
to
I think. Foxborough,
Texas. The name of the stadium in Cincinnati is Meatwater Stadium. That's right. We had chili cheese conies the other night in honor of the Chiefs playing the Bengals. Only ours didn't taste like dog food.
Yeah, that's good.
So we went for the non dog food chili cheese coney.
I wondered why you looked like you were wasting away these last couple of days.
That's right.
You've been walking different. You crawled into the studio this morning. You seem dehydrated.
So here's the texter, or here's the thing, texter. I've read your text.
Mm.
I'm not going to read it on the air.
Aw.
But just know that I laughed.
Okay, so it's a good yes. Text that's not going to make it to air.
The texter out there, know that you're the one that's that texts in, since it's an away game for Cincy, how about, and then I just stopped. I laughed.
Could I just get a quick glance at the iPad over there real quick so I know which one you're looking at? I can't. I'll open it up. I'll open it up.
Yeah, but you're not going to read that off. All right, so let's get into it.
No, I just wanted it. I'm just bad at having secrets kept from me.
Gain any confidence watching videos yesterday, breaking down videos, Zapruder film, Pat McAfee paused it, they went to the big screen, they circled it, he had his like little pointer thing, and they're stopping and rewinding, calling Harold Kuntz one of the best reporters in America, because
damn right he is.
He doesn't even have Patrick Mahomes' head in the video, because we don't care about his head. It's about the ankle, that's what he showed. Harold Kuntz, one of the best reporters in America. And then I don't know who it was, but somebody crossed in front of the camera, and he just starts, what are you doing? We're watching the ankle, and you're not even paying attention? This is clearly a 60-year-old man. He's got some stonewashed jeans on. He's got the imprint in the back pocket of the wallet. You know, this guy's clearly 55, 60 years old. Get the hell out of the way. Everybody across the nation is studying the videos of him walking down the stairs and him jogging in practice, and then he was a full participant.
Yeah, he was.
I think the full participant is the more encouraging thing than even watching the videos, because we can see the videos, and I think you can favor it without showing that you're favoring it when you're just doing a little jogging, because then you can step on it. You're jogging straight.
Mm-hmm.
You can step on it right at the top, so there's no movement really one way or another with the ankle, just planting your foot flat each time you step down. You can favor it a little bit without really showing that you're favoring it. But if you're taking all the snaps under center, shotgun, throwing the ball, stepping, moving, and you're taking every single snap, that's different than just jogging around. And he didn't need to then take a break and miss a series or two for Chad Henne to come in and do that he took all the snaps in practice yesterday. That's more encouraging than watching the video. Even if I didn't see a video and they said he's taking all the snaps. But I think seeing the video and seeing him jogging and doing some, you know, calisthenics and warm-ups and things like that, and then knowing he took every snap, I became more confident in the Chiefs' ability to still have the best quarterback on the planet back there, whether he's limited in his right ankle it's probably a better and more athletic right ankle than I have.
Definitely.
Right.
Yeah. Now. Trying to donate ankles to Mahomes would definitely do him no favors at this point. That alone is good news. But yeah, I didn't gain a let me go check that line again amount of confidence. I feel no urgency to try to put a single nickel on the like result of this game in particular. But just from a pure, hey, is this game going to, are we going to get a real next chapter of Chiefs Bengals? The odds of that went up exponentially in my mind yesterday.
Okay.
I'm still worried that it's the hobbled Mahomes versus healthy Burrow. If it was flipped, I think we would feel extraordinarily confident about, oh, Burrow's walking, but he's got a plan off that back foot. We got Mahomes. But I think it's going to be a game, and I think he's going to look like at least some version of himself. And you had asked me when he was sitting on the bench for 5 seconds on Saturday against the Jags, or even playing in the second half, I would have taken that in a heartbeat for this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, when he left, and I haven't found good audio of, I saw the video out there of the mic'd up with Mahomes when he was on the sideline, and then it cut to him talking. I saw that video out there, but I haven't found the good audio of that's released of the actual mic with him talking. If he's mic'd up, it would sound a lot more crisp and clear in that. It sounds like it's just a microphone that was also on the sideline, like one of those boom mics that was there, or parabolic mics that can pick up different sounds and, you know, audio of, you know, some people talking, but not really like, okay, this guy's mic'd up. You can hear everything he's saying pretty clear. But it's just Mahomes going, no, no, nope, no, I'm staying, I'm good, no, just fighting when he was taken out of the game. And, you know, you expect, you know, him to do that and to feel like he doesn't want to come out of the game because he wanted to stay in. He's a competitor. He continues to go out there and try to work his way through it. Staying in the game was a big aspect of it. Yesterday video, big aspect of it. Full participant, big aspect of it. What does today look like? Because he practiced yesterday. Do they dial it back a little bit? Does Chad Henne get some reps today? Because one of the concerns I have, and I don't know how much it's even been talked about at all in regards to Patrick Mahomes. You know, we're discussing how limited he will be and if he can roll around and do the crazy playmaking that he does. We're discussing all of those things. But nobody's really acknowledged or brought up the fact that when you have something like this, the risk of re-injury is much greater. There are people falling around him all the time when he's moving, and he's, you know, that offensive line has to not only protect him to throw the football, but has to protect him with guys at his feet, hitting him falling backwards and having to put pressure on the right foot as he's falling, that he doesn't have, you know, control over that. Whereas he has control if he's running or throwing. That's a concern too. That does that happen in the game? Because look, if he's doing this for practice, that thing is going to be taped up to be like a cast, and they'll have the painkillers. So I do think for that game to start as he's going along, I think it's going to look better than people would have imagined it would have looked when he left that game. Because I don't think he's shooting it up with painkillers for practice. I think he wants to just go out there and see how does, let's test it. But I think that will happen in the game on Sunday. That it'll help. So I'm concerned about that, but I'm so much less concerned about like what he's going to look like in the game.
Yep.
I want to take a timeout, and I want to come back, and we will talk about one of the other reasons why I'm a little less concerned.
It's Thursday.
Watch the...
We're speeding up. We're talking ourselves into it, Jason.
It's finally Thursday, Josh.
I know. I've thought it's Thursday for 3 days. It's a weird deal.
I watched the
Happy Friday, everybody.
Chiefs Bengals from December 4th for, I think, the third time this week, last night.
Man, you are a glutton for punishment.
No. I also watched Bengals Ravens, too, last night.
That might have helped your mood.
Mm-hmm, it did. I'm telling you, man, NFL plus condensed games, 36 minutes to watch a whole game. It's amazing. Takes a little bit longer if you rewind and do some of those things, look at it. But like a game, like I watch even rewinding and stuff, like 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. So rewatched both those games last night. And I got some thoughts on what I saw from the game plan, what it could mean for Sunday. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. More Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
This is a guy through the first three quarters of the game had a quarterback rating of... Well, now I lost that.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we'll talk with Matt Verderam coming up at 11 o'clock, fanside it. Hear from the Chiefs in their press conferences at about 11:45, 11:50 or so. Reaction to the press conferences in the noon hour, and then we'll play some sports or leisure at 1 o'clock.
I saw this tweet from Mick Schaefer, who's not in studio with us today because it's a Thursday, but contributing nonetheless because he tweeted during our first segment, at least say GEHA field at Burrowhead. Sheesh. Good tweet, Mick. Good tweet.
Yeah, I like it. I like that. 913.
Yeehaw, actually.
But yeah, that's
other
right.
Other than that. Yeehaw field at Burrowhead is what
Yeehaw.
Chris Jones will call it.
913-912-4810. Text says, we all know how much Andy likes to immediately go back to a guy who fumbled or dropped a ball. What are the odds that the first offensive play that they have Pat roll out? I mean, they might. Mm. It might just be roll the pocket. And that brings me to what I was talking about before the break in looking at the game plan. And it's like, okay, what are they going to do? What are they going to do with Patrick Mahomes? Because he's not going to be able to move. Let's hear from Booger McFarlane yesterday. Here's Booger weighing in on the Bengals' defensive game plan versus a limited Mahomes.
Anytime you have a sitting duck in the pocket, you got to come after him, because we know the thing that makes Mahomes special is his ability to elude and get out of the pocket and scramble. Well, guess what? When you got that high ankle sprain, he's not going to be able to move as well. And I don't care what they say, how he practiced during the week, his ability to move out of the pocket is going to be hampered. And Kev, if Mahomes is hampered, he's going to be a stationary duck in that pocket. And dare I say, you may have more athleticism than him, and that's not a good thing. So if I'm the Bengals, I'm coming after Patrick Mahomes. I'm blitzing him. I'm making him move on that injured ankle.
I hope they do. I hope they blitz him. Don't you? Like, I hope they blitz him. Lee, are you serious?
Yeah.
You're gonna leave Taylor Britt and Eli Apple one-on-one? I don't care against Kadarius Toney.
Yeah.
Juju, please blitz. They play so much zone on the back end because Lou Anarumo has to protect his crappy cornerbacks. Mike Hilton's good, but if you're going to blitz, are you blitzing Mike Hilton, which they did against the Bills a couple of times? I hope they do. I hope they blitz Mahomes, because I think Mahomes will eat. It's what he does. Do you think against the when you blitz Mahomes, every time you blitz him, he just starts running around and scrambling and being a magician when you blitz him? Most of the time that happens is when they're bringing four. Because when they're bringing five or six, most of those lanes to escape from are covered, are taken care of. So he'll sit there, know where the, or feel like he knows where the blitz is coming from, and find the mismatch. And with their secondary, cornerbacks, I should say, outside of Mike Hilton, who I think is really good as a slot corner, annoyed because I wanted the Chiefs to sign him. And I think they certainly could have signed him for the contract he signed with the Bengals. But regardless, I mean, Taylor Britt's good. He's a nice player, rookie. But that's their best one. Like, the Chiefs have Snead and McDuffie before they get to their nice player rookie, Jalen Watson. They've got Eli Apple. Please blitz Mahomes.
Two things that I think play into that. One is that the most memorable Patrick Mahomes plays are the ones where he is outside of the pocket creating and doing things that you've literally never seen anyone else do. I think that becomes so easy to remember that as being the main thing that you forget how devastating Mahomes is against the blitz. But sometimes even that is like, can he create? Can he drift a little bit in the pocket and then, I don't know, jump off of a bum ankle and throw a touchdown? Yes, he can. We've seen this happen recently. But even beyond that, specifically in this game, I'm going to say a name that usually you get to mention first on this show, just on a day-to-day basis. Jerick McKinnon changes how I feel about teams blitzing Patrick Mahomes.
Son of a gun.
I'm sorry I took him from you, but there's no one on earth who I trust to protect Patrick Mahomes more right now than Jerick McKinnon in the backfield.
Yep.
So yeah, I think the Chiefs would welcome some blitzes.
Speaking of Jerick McKinnon, we'll hear from him at the podium today.
Hey! Fantastic. I wonder what it's like to...
And Legarius Snead.
Look at that. Okay.
Also Snead for 5 minutes.
And well, so yeah, that's the crew there now. Reed, Mahomes... Tobe, Spags, Bieniemy, Snead, and McKinnon.
Okay. Snead for, I said 5 minutes, but five words is what I meant from Legarius Snead. Hey, you know what?
Plays fast, talks fast, answers fast.
Doesn't really answer, though. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to the game. No, it'll be fun. Oh, they're a good team. Good team. Physical team. Yeah, we just gotta we gotta do what we're supposed to do. Sound. We gotta tackle.
He will not be called tuna in a can.
No, he won't. Texas PM15 eats pieces of blitz for breakfast. You eat pieces of blitz? No. So blitz him. He's immobile. He's a sitting duck, a statue back there. Okay.
Well, I think he's a stationary duck, which is, to me is like an origami duck made out of paper. It's stationary.
Stationary duck. Well, you know, on the surface, it looks like they are just relaxing. But underneath is where all the work is going on with those little duck feet. So I went back and watched the Bengals-Chiefs game again. Mm-hmm. First two drives. This is what I wanted to look at last night. Was, okay, so they're going to have to change the game plan. Five-step drops, all these different things that the Chiefs like to do. You know, a lot of five-step drops against the Jags. First couple of drives for the Chiefs until Mahomes got injured. And then a lot of three-step drops. Okay, so against the Bengals then, going up against a zone like that, you'd want to get a little more depth, let the routes develop, find those creases, boom, beat them. Because they're 70, 75% zone. Here are the dropbacks for Patrick Mahomes, the first two drives. Screen pass, three-step drop, quick throw down the line of scrimmage to Fort Season, three-step drop. They rolled the pocket, and it was an incomplete pass. It was when it was second and four down by the goal line, and he rolled the pocket. It was incomplete. Quick two-step drop out of shotgun, incomplete to Travis Kelce. Next drive, three-step drop. Sacked by Andrew Wiley, who just got whipped by Hubbard right out of the gates. Wiley went and reached. Hubbard slapped his arms. Oh, he was toast.
The arm. I remember that play. Nice.
And then just engulfed Mahomes. That was shotgun, a quick three-step drop, and Mahomes couldn't even start to step up because Hubbard was already there. It wasn't even Trey Hendrickson. It was Hubbard. Annoying. The next two plays, even though one of them didn't count, but I was counting just all plays that they called and all dropbacks, five-step drop because it was third and 15. That was the ineligible man downfield. Five-step drop because it was third and 20. So he had nine pass attempts on the first two drives. Six of them were screens, three-step drops, or throws down the line of scrimmage. One rollout and two five-step drops that were third and 15 and third and 20. Outside of that, it was three-step drop, get the ball out, line of scrimmage, screen pass, here's a handoff. Play action rollout, one of them, I don't know that we'll see that. Maybe we will, like the texter says. First play action bootleg rollout. He was pretty mad at Andrew Wiley because it was a naked bootleg, and he went to the offensive line's right, and Andrew Wiley let the guy beat him to the right where you know Mahomes is going to be there, so you got to make that guy go inside. Instead, he beat him on his outside shoulder, which then went right at Mahomes, and Mahomes had to just throw the ball away, turned right around and looked at Andrew Wiley pointing at his head. Think.
It's got to be a bad feeling.
You can't let him go that side, you mother. And then the next play was a incomplete pass. They kick a field goal. Six of the nine passing attempts were three-step, screen pass, line of scrimmage. 11 of the total 13 plays they called in those first two drives were out of the shotgun. So when they say, well, now you're going to have to stay out of the shotgun for Patrick Mahomes. You got to stay in the shotgun. You're not going to be able to do those deep passes. You can't run around back there. The first two drives, they didn't. Mind you, they scored 3 points on those first two drives.
Right. Yeah, I couldn't decide if this was making me feel better or worse. Right. That's already what they were doing, but it didn't work that well.
It worked until they got to third and three, and the ball was batted down at the line of scrimmage by Reeder. It was a lucky play, but you know what? Get your hand up in the passing lane, and I think they scored a touchdown on that play. That's just me.
Yeah.
Kelsey's at the three-yard line. The nearest defender's 3 yards behind him. He catches it.
Usually you're pretty good at that.
You're not tackling him one-on-one to get to the goal line. It's a touchdown, but it happens. It would have been 7 points. If on second down and eight, Wiley doesn't just get whipped by Sam Hubbard, who knows what happens on that drive? But that was clearly the game plan the first two drives.
Yeah.
Here's what I find to be really fascinating, though, about that. The next three drives combined, 19 dropbacks. Only 5 of them were 3-step or quick throws down the line of scrimmage. 7-step drop, play action, rollout, 5-step drop. 3-step drop, he scrambled for 8 yards. 5-step, 5-step, 5-step drop, 5-step drop, under center, play action, 7-step drop. 3-step drop, play action, rollout, 3-step drop, drop 5, play action, 7-step drop. Those were the next 3 drives.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You got out of your first 15, right?
Right.
You can reasonably say that quick game stuff was in the first 15 scripted.
Was in the first 15 scripted. It's what they did. And obviously the game plan was then going to be, now we'll switch it up for drive 3, drive 4, play off that, see what we have. This is what we're showing them. Now we're doing something different.
Or they saw something different from the Bengals and thought, right, we need to adjust to them. I have no idea which order is which there, but somebody did something different. Someone changed on purpose and someone reacted, I imagine.
Because it was just, it wasn't night and day.
Yeah.
You know, 11 of those 13 plays, the first 2 drives were out of shotgun. 16 of the next 27 were out of shotgun. So it wasn't nearly, 16 and 11. 16 shotgun, 11 under center, as opposed to 11 and 2. Like, it was shotgun, quick throws. Shotgun, quick throws. Shotgun, quick throws. Then it was play action under center, 7-step drop, roll the pocket, shotgun, drop 5 steps in the shotgun, deeper drops. I don't know. I just thought it was interesting that the
whole,
you're going to have to do something different this week with Mahomes because he's not going to be able to move around. I'm like, well, those first 2 drives, they game planned and scripted what you would have guessed this Sunday will look like, right?
Well, the other thing about it is, even like you mentioned the specific, like the rollouts, the planned pocket movements and everything.
Yeah.
I was getting my lab coat on a little bit to hop onto the internet and reading a little more about some high ankle sprain stuff, specifically in light of what Mahomes showed in practice from those videos and everything. It seems like the straight line movement should be relatively stable. I was going to say unaffected, and I think that's probably overselling it. But I think if Mahomes knows where he's going, he could go from point A to point B and still preserve even those little rollouts. I wonder about the improvisation once the pocket kind of breaks down.
Yeah.
So I still think you probably want to avoid that. But like you said, like you just went through, that's not new.
No.
Like, the Chiefs don't mind playing quick and having the ball out of his hands quickly and then adjusting as you need to adjust. Both of these teams are going into this game with like 15 different game plans they can use.
That's right.
Lou Anarumo, Andy Reid, Spider-Man meme, binders full of nonsense for this game.
Two-person chess match.
Some could say. Some could say there are two-person chess matches going on.
Whoa.
Perhaps the pieces overlap. I'm not sure how that works.
What I'm really interested in seeing is the reaction on Sunday. Let's say the first drive is Mahomes, quick throw, screen, takes a snap, a couple steps, get it out quick, and people go, here's the game plan with Mahomes and the ankle. It's what you're going to have to do. You got to adjust to that ankle. You're going to see it. Unless the first drive is 5-step drop.
Bomb.
Under center. He's going to hand off under center. Nope. Here comes a play action. They're going to roll the pocket. And Andy Reid saying, no, it's our game plan. It's our full playbook. We've got Mahomes. He's fine. He's a little hobbled. But he's got both legs. And we're going to use him like that. And we're going to do what we can off of what we think your script may be. And that's why, you know, as Booger McFarland said, blitz them, blitz them. I hope they do.
Here's one little wrinkle on that just to keep an eye out for is I really do wonder what it's going to look like trying to drive off that back foot.
Yeah.
So when we see the first deep shot, will it have the juice you expect?
Mm-hmm.
And then even when it gets blitzed and hurried, if he's able to push off, if he's not able to push off that back foot, that ball might just travel with a little less zip.
Yeah.
And one of the big things that contribute to all the crazy arm angles and the windows Mahomes can hit is that he gets the ball from point A to point B quicker than most guys can, even when it's not a deep shot downfield. So just something else to keep in mind, but that is the baseline of what it looked like last time. It'll be very interesting to see what jumps out to you from this game on Sunday.
And you've also got, and we'll take a break, but you've also got, in that game, the Chiefs scored 24 and had the ball at midfield driving when Kelce fumbled, literally the only fumble this year. They scored that many points and did that, and then they missed a field goal, so it would have given them 27. They did that. Now exchange Allegretti for Tooney, Sky Moore for Kadarius Toney. with that offense, because that's what you're doing.
Yep.
And now exchange three offensive linemen for the Bengals with backup offensive linemen and their left tackle playing left tackle for the first time in his career against the Bills, held up well.
Yep. Sure did.
Good work. I mean, that's pat on the back. That's well done. You know, that's tip of your cap for what they did. Do they do it two games in a row? Does Steve Spagnuolo, does he see what they were doing to try to protect those offensive linemen and adjust to that? And the Bills don't have somebody anywhere near Chris Jones level and being able to disrupt the middle of that line. We'll see. Those are big differences. This go around, and we'll find out what it means on Sunday. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue rolling. More Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Text says, nope.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We'll talk to Matt Verderam coming up at 11 o'clock. One of the other things that stood out in that game, December 4th, and whether you can take things away from that game or not, I think you can take a few things away as we're talking about like game plan, how many times they dropped Mahomes back deep or a quick passing game. But Nick Bolton and Willie Gay were bad. And that's bad meaning bad, not bad meaning good.
Yeah, bad, bad.
Oh, they were not good in that game. Just not
fun to watch.
Oh, no. It was watching it back. You're just like, oh, my God. Where are they going? What are you seeing? Why are you missing that tackle? Oh, you slid off another guy. It's unbelievable how many wide open holes and those guys were in different spots. If they play like that, Joe Mixon will have 130. If they play like that.
I think this is the right angle. We've spent a lot of time talking about the right ankle. But I think the right angle is, hey, if the Chiefs linebackers stink again,
it could be a long day.
My ankle sprain might not be that big of a deal.
You'd better put pressure on Joe Burrow if those linebackers are going to play like that. So we'll talk with Matt Verderam coming up next.